There's a dictionary definition of the word ferry, which traces its roots back to an early meaning, a journey for which a price is paid, which is very fitting because the reason we even have a ferry system in Washington as we know it today, this coordinated network owned by the state, is because of a row about that price to be paid, a row about fares. And we have at least three protagonists in this argument. There's Governor Monrad Wahlgren, a Democrat from Everett who likes a drink and a game of billiards and believes in the positive role of government, the man who introduced to Congress the bill that created the Olympic National Park. Then there's Governor Arthur Langley, a trim, morally upstanding, teetotal Republican who believes in the positive role of free markets in everyday life. And then there's the owner and operator of the Puget Sound Navigation Company and the Blackball Ferry Line, Captain Alexander Peabody.
On the Blackball Ferry Line up in Seattle, where the sun shines seldom shines.
Depends on who you ask. He was either an astute businessman or he was a shark.
It is very easy to portray him as the bad guy, if you will. I don't see him as that at all. He was a businessman trying to do his job.
He was very much, I'd say, on certain things, a visionary.
And the ferry boats are chugging right along.
Oh, Uncle Alexander, I just loved him. He didn't marry for a long time. Very good looking. And he ran the Puget Sound Navigation Company down there on that waterfront. He put the whole thing together, and Uncle Alexander did a damn good job.
Alexander Peabody's niece, Nina Peabody O'Neill, and before her, historians Alan Stein and Steve Pickens. So here's the backstory. Peabody runs the Blackball Ferry Line from the 1920s to the 1940s, all the time buying up these small ferry companies that make up the Mosquito Fleet. So by the time World War II comes around, he has a virtual monopoly on ferry crossings across Puget Sound. His boats take thousands upon thousands of workers back and forth to wartime jobs in towns like Bremerton, and he takes them at reduced rates. But when our story really starts, 1945 is drawing to a close.
He really felt that he did his job during the war, he kept rates low, and now that the war is over, he kind of wanted some recompense for that.
Alan Stein is a staff writer at historylink.org, Washington's online encyclopedia of history. And in fact, his book, Safe Passage, has been instrumental in helping me untangle this really complex story. So immediately post-war is when things start to get sticky for Alexander Peabody, because he asks the state to let him raise his fares by 10% in 1945, then another 30% in 1947. And by 1947, the state is frankly not enthusiastic, because the issue is starting to get political, in part because the public have already seen the post-war cost of living going up. So 30% is a hefty increase. Things really kick off, though, while the state is still pondering all this, because in the meantime, the engineers on Peabody's boats go out on strike. Now, it's a complicated dispute, but the outcome for the public is straightforward. The boats are tied up, and 10,000 commuters on Puget Sound can't get to work. Buses and planes and private charters are all pulled in to try and plug the gap. But 6 days later, when the strike is over, for the travelling public, a penny has dropped. Peabody has a monopoly, and he's going to use it. So when the state finally refuses his 30% fare request, that's exactly what he does. In 1948, Peabody ties up his boats for a second time.
This was a red flag for people. Now they realized, okay, there needs to be more governmental control of this, because you can't have one person making these decisions. You can't have somebody saying, I'm just going to stop the ferries today.
You'll find all these on the Blackball Line.
The Klahani.
The Nisqually.
Malahat.
Well, think of that.
The
Klingatan. There goes my hat.
Yes.
In this stalemate with the state, Peabody starts running ferries by working directly with county authorities. The fares are higher and the lines are longer, but the state doesn't interfere. On Vashon Island, though, they're not having that. This is the island, after all, where an effigy of Peabody was hung out over the jetty during the first shutdown. So they form their own ferry district, they buy up some dodgy old boats, and they run them independently. Meanwhile, Peabody's thinking, wait a minute, that's my business, that's my route. So on May the 15th, 1948, he sends a ferry Illahi over with strict instructions to not come back empty. He hadn't reckoned, though, and the Vashon vigilantes.
The owner of the hardware store, George McCormick, who was also the ferry commissioner over there, opened up his business and told people, said, take pitchforks, pool cues, shovels, whatever you can, go down there and rappel that ferry. And that's what they did. They went down there, the group of people in the boat.
Were they pushing it off with
If it would try to come to the dock, they would actually push it off with their pool cues and their shovels. At one point, the wives came down to serve them coffee. It was such a nice, pleasant little bit of rabble-rousing. But the wives came down for coffee.
Civilized, anarchy.
Yeah, they stopped to have their coffee, and the captain saw this and decided to try once again. And he swooped in, the boat swooped in, they all threw their coffee down, went out and pushed it away.
Ocean on the Black Ball Ferry Line, up in Seattle, every single GOP and Democrat will hear the whistles go and the bells go.
The Illihee limps back to Seattle in defeat. But public clamor for the state to take a hand in the ferry service continues to grow. And there's inquiries and there's studies and there's reports, but there's not much progress. Governor Walgren is up for re-election in 1948, and he tries to get the state to issue bonds to buy Peabody out, but the legislature defeats him. Step forward at this point, his opponent, Arthur Langley, who sees in Walgren's failure a political opportunity and wins the governorship for a second time.
Republican, free enterprise, pro-business, and when he got elected, Peabody thought it was clear sailing then. It was like, okay, he's going to be on my side. The problem was that Langley thought that Peabody was giving free enterprise a bad name. In fact, Langley at one point called Peabody a robber baron, which was just outrage for Peabody to be called that by a pro-business Republican.
For Peabody, though, by 1950, it was clear the game was up. A couple of years of constant wrangling with the state had done him in. The details of the sell-off were finalized, and a date was set for the handover, June the 1st, 1951.
At midnight, the Black Ball flag was lowered for the last time, and the Washington State flag went up.
Steve Pickens is a ferry historian and the author of the book, Washington's Ferries.
The changes to the fleet were pretty much immediate. And the story goes that at one point during the morning run, the Chippewa crossed with Black Ball livery on one side of her funnel and Washington State ferries on the other as paint crews were painting away throughout the day.
The state of Washington ultimately paid the weary, resigned Captain Peabody $4.9 million. That was for most of his ferries, the terminals, and the routes themselves. $4.9 million with which Captain Peabody did what any good American entrepreneur would do. He invested elsewhere.
He and Aunt Marie went on nice trips and did all sorts. Went up to Canada a lot. We all kind of ended up in Canada.
Alexander Peabody started buying up smaller operators in British Columbia, and he built a modern fleet which was bought out by BC Ferries in 1965. He was apparently pleased with the deal and retired from the sea, according to one source. Meanwhile, in Washington, fears that the state takeover represented a socialist tendency were easily soothed, partly because for Governor Langley and many others, state ownership of the ferries was only ever intended as a temporary measure. Most people believed that in 10 years, ferries would be obsolete. They'd be superseded by a network of bridges across Puget Sound. This was, after all, the age of the automobile.
All the ferry boats are chugga-chugga-chugga-na.
Ferry boats are chugga-chugga-chugga-na.